This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, this is the crossover brought to you by Abundant Life Weight Loss. They know the secrets of losing up to 1 pound of fat every day. Go to AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz, Gerald the Guru Johnson, Mark Willard, Dan Dibley. What's up, boys?
Yeah. What's up?
It's a Thursday.
Oh, we're getting
Let's
close.
Go. Yeah. I mean, not only are we getting close, but we got a go shorty. It's your birthday today because we've got the Warriors basketball. Right here on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, so I didn't know where it was going.
When you see Mark and I come in with a little extra bounce,
that's it.
We love our job, and I actually do enjoy talking to him 20 hours a week, but not this week.
No. Awesome.
This week we've had a couple of shorties, go shorty, and today is another shorty because we get to enjoy the best show on television, radio.
The Barclays Center.
Exactly. It doesn't matter who they're playing or where they're playing. They are it right now in sports. They're the thing.
And this is as close as our guy, me and Grandy, Cam Johnson, is ever going to get to the Golden State Warriors.
That was exactly. Your guy.
Tonight. Here we go.
Just a shame.
Good interview with Kerr yesterday, man.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Thanks.
He's like the Steph Curry of interviews. Wow, like, it's hard to...
The most skilled.
And laughs at your material.
He's a low-key... multitasker too. He's walking the streets of New York. It was a few weeks ago. He was cooking Chinese food while we were talking to him. Like, I love
he's
that.
A cool kid,
I would like. There are people where I would take offense to it. Where it's like, dude, are you paying attention?
Yeah,
to
right.
It? But not Steve.
He's locked
just
in.
Like, yeah, like I'll lock in and he'll walk the dog or yell at the dog or walk the streets of New York or cook all while we're talking to him. So you know, we wrap that into the conversation.
And even at that. I mean, to your point, he is with his wife in a cab or an Uber or whatever, and he's going out for dinner and a show, but still, he does 25 minutes. Definitely. It's not like, you know, guys, he tells the producers, guys, I need this to be, you know, 8 to 10 because I got plans.
Oh, it happens.
No, but not with him.
Yeah, I got
He will, like, he'll stay stretched out even though he may have other things going on.
Yeah, he's no Bruce Bochy. Remember when Bruce Bochy was on his way to a show last time?
Happy birthday,
37-second interview. Thanks, Boach. We'll see you later.
He called you on your birthday.
No, I see.
No, and that's like.
Did that happen? Yes, he did. He called in.
On the way to the show.
No, I took it as a compliment because even though he's only on with us for 30, I think it was actually 54 seconds.
Yeah, I think over a minute.
Yeah, like he, I mean.
No follow-up questions.
Could have just said no. but he did.
He did.
So, awesome. Anyway,
yep, yeah. No doubt.
All good.
Yeah. But anyway, short show. Because we're excited for another one of these, which, and Mark and I were talking in one of our various meetings today. We had so many, I can't keep track. But, like, think about 2 months ago, this Warrior season was, what? It was like, they lose, they win, Steph does everything, he has no help, and then over the last, what, month now, since Jimmy's been here, not even a month, this whole thing has gone back to, like, you have to watch every single second of everything, because they're now, they're it again.
Yeah, and I'm mad at Evan, because he just set me up and cracked me. He doesn't even know it. But we played the curse sound in regard to, you know, Steph being the GOAT in regard to skills, and then that just went off into the GOAT conversation. And I have a GOAT starting five, but Evan was like, nah, the GOAT is that one guy. So I go, you know what? I didn't like that. But I was like, okay, I got to condense the list. But he talked about Steph and where he's at in his age and how the Warriors and he looked averaging a career low early on before the trade. And I go, you know what, Evan? Because I'm drunk right now with everything Warriors. I'm like, I don't think Steph's, if he's slowing down or lost a step, it doesn't look like it to my eye. And then he goes, just in a subtle way, well, what about the first half?
Yeah.
I go, you little fuck. I go, bilateral knee tendonitis. No. I kept saying that. But now look.
Well, we talked about this yesterday, actually, and there were plenty
now
of people.
Now look, Willard.
Well, and when your partner gets back from whatever this midlife crisis is or whatever he's been doing for the last week and a half.
That guy is such a dude.
When he gets back, I want you to check in on him and the whole Steph is declining thing. Because, look, it's an obvious take when people start getting older, right? Oh, Father Time's undefeated. Gotcha. We all say, of course, everyone's going to decline. But I think it's too much of a catch-all. We do it very often with athletes when actually there's just contextual stuff going on. And we don't ever want to give credit to that. It's no different than the Niners conversation. How many of y'all went, Debo's washed? I don't think Debo's washed. I think he needs new context, and now he's going to get it. He's probably going to do some pretty good stuff.
And either do the Commanders, James, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Adam Peters knows Debo pretty well and decided he wanted to go get him. So Steph's not washed. He needed a new context because of what was going on around him and the fact that three defenders were running at him at half court, and it makes it very, very difficult. Now, poof, Jimmy Butler's on the team, and suddenly we can average 29 again. You're not washed. You just needed somebody to put the wash in the laundry machine.
Evan, we're back.
That's all.
Well, no, but I do think there is something to, like, I don't know where the bilateral knee tendonitis went. Like, it's not like it's just around.
It went to the needle. He got the needle.
You think
so?
No
doubt.
Well, then how come he didn't get the needle, I don't know, 35 or 40 games in?
Well, because
it wasn't worth it.
You were hoping that you would be able to manage it, and you would hope that you could, you know, get the needle at the right time. As a man who gets cortisone every 6 months for my knee.
Mom's used to get it in her back.
Right. And so when I get it in my knee, I get 6 weeks of, oh my God, I'm Evan Giddings.
Right,
I'm in my early 30s and let's go. I can run. I can jump. I can do it all. And then after that, it gets to be a slow deterioration
sensation.
Yeah, wow. That's a buck. And then, you know, I'm not a pro athlete, but if I'm Steph Curry, you can't get cortisone every month or every week. It's not really good for you and your body, but if you're Steph, you get the needle. And I'm not saying that he did, but I'm just guessing based on how he's gone from bilateral knee tendonitis to
30.
Oh, now we're playing back-to-backs, and I'm playing 35 minutes.
Why don't you get the needle before the knockout tournament then?
Yeah,
because I don't want to play in the knockout tournament.
Why?
Because I don't really want to be out there. I don't want to go out there and do that. What I want to do...
Why? You're not answering why. You're just saying
and
that.
It is concerning.
I'm just curious.
Why don't you want to be out there with
why?
Us?
Why?
Because I don't feel the need, and I don't have the desire to go out there and shoot free throws and make baskets on the Chase Center floor. What I want to do...
It's just fun with friends. I mean, that's...
You know what's also fun is going out there and meeting all the listeners that I met. As you guys were out there dribble, dribble, shoot, I was working the crowd and meeting listeners and shaking hands and taking pictures and receiving gifts. And that, to me, is more fun and more fulfilling than going out there and trying to shoot free
throws. Don't make it sound like we weren't doing that.
I'm not saying that. You asked me why I didn't want to do that, and I'm telling you why.
Okay.
Yeah. And my why is not okay for you.
I still didn't hear it.
The answer is I don't want to.
Got it. Okay.
I don't want to play one-on-one chase
in front of everybody.
Right. And so I've done that. I've been out there, and I've done that. And that was quietly 5 years ago. We just had the disgrace anniversary, which just passed. It was on February 20-something, and... You know, that was something that I did, and I kind of wanted to do it because I thought at that time that I could beat Lo Neal in a one-on-one. And
it was a great game.
It was a terrible game.
Oh, no.
It was awful. It went down to the wire, man. Tell me. Dibs was Danny Ainge diving for loose balls.
I lost 11-5. He was bad, and I was 10 times worse. And maybe that's part of the reason why I don't want to go out there.
You were heavier, Dibs. You weren't abundant like Dibs.
I was a fat red pumpkin. Yeah, but it wouldn't have mattered because what I realized that day is... It's over. It's over, Dibber. Well, it's over.
See, I ain't there yet.
No, and neither is Mark. And that's great.
You'll never be there. Right. Like, you'll never. But I have a different why.
As long as you
why.
Got two legs, you'll be out there, Joe.
I have a different why. Why is a good friend of mine texting me at 12:58? This is 59 minutes
ago. Okay, what do we got? Okay.
We're in a meeting. We're in a meeting with the bosses, and we're talking it out.
Boss, one boss. We don't have multiple bosses. Lucas is not our boss.
The director.
Yeah, he's mine.
Exactly. Wow. Why do I get a text that says, "Can't wait to hear what you did"? And I gave him the Iguodala. Oh, I'm like, "What? Huh? What are you talking about?"
All right, I gotta tell you.
And then he says, "Goo says he can't believe what you did to him."
You poked the bear, bro.
What the hell did I do?
All right, here we go.
Why am I catching strays?
I'm about to tell you. Right, and I retracted the strays.
One sec, real fast. Yeah. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Switch to YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit. Get him, Goo.
Yeah. So, no, I'm not. We're back brothers. So I'm sitting in the new locale in the studio. Okay, to help the engineer. He recommended it, and I'm doing it.
Microphone.
You're no doubt about it.
Yeah. You're on my crossover mic right now.
And you're on mine.
I hope you guys are upset on this one. So I watch you come into the control room, and now I can see you, and I go, "That's my guy, Mark."
Yeah.
And then you just turned into OJ at USC and came right in here, and I had the blinds up, and you just... And it sounded like my mother when she, "Boy, come here and give me that." And that's how you sounded without saying it.
Took you by the scruff of your neck.
And then the curtains are open because I wanted them open. Willard, and I'm like, "Oh, he's doing Daisy May on me." He's like, "Put these down." And then you just storm back out, I go to Evan on air. I think he just invaded my space. But then I found out, you asked why was I over here. Ken told you because of the glare.
He said
and you came in to help your glare. Boy.
Exactly.
But I went on air thinking,
you know me.
Was he offended? I was on his mic.
You and me in that window have history.
Yes, we did.
And I protect you from that window. That's part of my job. Here at 95.7 The Game.
My bad, bro.
And I'm like, I have a little bit of a problem with this. I'm one of those, like, if you want something done right, do it yourself people.
And he was
so I'm like, why the hell are they all worried about that? Well, of course there's glare.
And Evan's watching you come in here like,
Evan's mad because I distracted you, but I didn't think you'd get that distracted.
Just keep your focus, what is he doing? Do your show.
And I was going to come get rid of the glare.
And it took me a minute after you left to have enough courage to tell Evan, "I think I'm mad." That's how I did.
I think I'm mad.
I threw it a break, and Goo came in hot. I was like, "Well, I realized that he invaded your space. You know, in segment, didn't have a chance to defend yourself, all the rest." But immediately, Goose was like, I can't believe he did that.
Yeah.
I was like, well, me neither, but what did he really do?
What
did
right? I don't
know. Yeah. Listen, about the
I've offended a lot of people in my life doing a lot of things, but never before because I closed
to help
the blinds.
Your boy. Yeah. That's my boy.
Just trying to,
no doubt.
You know what I mean? Yeah. The lights are bright on you, Goose.
And I thought it was, I was at your mic. I'm like, it can't be that.
I'm trying to give you a pair of shades,
yeah, no,
brother.
You tried to
the
help your boy
future is bright.
Yeah. From 10 to 2, don't
ten
mess
three.
And you know what that was? An episode of Three's Company. I didn't have all the info, but I thought did. Didn't you get the, oh, Larry was right.
I'm going to let you date yourself by yourself over there, okay?
No, I needed
I'm with you.
Yeah, Suzanne
you.
Summers line.
Yeah, and you would be the Suzanne Summers.
I don't get half the references you guys come in with anyway, so.
Come on, knock on my door.
I already lost my Yoon card today.
The Regal Beagle.
I lost my Yoon card.
The Regal Beagle.
Dude, Farley was my guy, man.
Mr. Furley, greater than Don Mr. Knotts. Roper.
Yeah, no
we'll
doubt.
Just leave that there.
Norman Lear, right?
Yep.
Right.
Look at you. Look,
Evan is literally
I'll take your word
to go
for
to the bathroom. He's like, dude, what am I doing in this room
I will take
right
your
now?
Word
yeah,
for
go
it.
Go ahead, Evan. Change the subject.
No. I was so where we started today was actually with the 49ers. And, you know, I've just been trying to figure out, like, what the goal is for this team this offseason. I'm not sure what you guys got coming up between now and then 3:30 when Warriors Live starts, but it's just been hard for me to kind of decipher what exactly they're planning on doing come Monday because they only got so much time to sort of begin this thing. And I just feel like we're getting conflicting messages from them right now. I don't know how you guys feel, but
well, and it's an interesting question. To me, I feel like a lot of us are potentially overthinking it by trying to gain some sort of definition from the 49ers right now. We do this with teams. It's the same thing we did with the Warriors. Oh, you got two timelines. You have to pick one. There doesn't need to be a label to the offseason. Like, you're either going for it or you're rebooting and you're laying back. To me, I don't think that neither of them are ever good. I don't ever want my team to be all in on 1 year. Mm. And I think the Niners probably, they might have fallen into that trap last year. It's why they signed Brandon Ayuk to a ridiculous contract. But I, at the same time, I don't think you ever go into a season going, well, no, this season's not for us. We're going to have to reboot, and it's going to take a few years. The answer absolutely can be both. There is so much offseason still to come, and it feels like people want some sort of definition about whether the Niners are kind of like going for it or are they going young and rebooting? And to me, the answer is both. The 49ers can absolutely be competitive this year. We have no idea what they're going to do in free agency. I define it this way. This is what I think the Niners are doing. They're going line by line with each of their employees, and they're going, you make X, and you weren't worth it. You're gone. And if you are, you stay. And I think that's what they're doing. And that's what 6-11 does to you. It makes you. That's the way they're rebooting. But if anyone's under the impression that that means the Niners don't think they can win this year, I disagree completely.
I think they're trying to save money, knowing that the Brock Purdy contract is coming. And I don't disagree with what Mark is saying when you look at each employee and you say, okay, you're getting paid this and you're not worth that. And I think that Debo was the first one where you would have had to give him $15 million here in about a week or two, and you didn't want to do that because he's not the same player he was. And so, you know, you tell him that in February, and he says, well, then trade me. I want to be traded. Okay, and we're going to trade you, and you get a fifth-round pick back, which is great because that fifth-round pick is somebody who you're going to pay about $1 million, whoever that player is, assuming they make the team. So that right there is a saving, and I look at other things like Aaron Banks, for example, a guard who I think he's pretty good. He's been great. He's been not so great, but he's somebody that people want to pay, and you don't want to pay what he's going to make, so he'll be gone. And you look at Mooney Ward, he's been great, and he's also been not so great. He's going to get more money than you want, so he'll be gone. Dre Greenlaw, maybe he'll be gone. Hufanga, he'll probably be gone. And, you know, all these other players where if they're good and you like them, you'd love to have them, but I do think that there's a little bit of a crunch with the cap as you look at what's going to happen with Brock Purdy and the real rat on the table, brought to you by Atco Pest Control.
Nice.
You're paying Brandon Ayuk $30 million a year, average annual, and he can't play anymore right now because he's hurt. So yeah. I do think that part of this is a little bit of a cap crunch where You can rework deals, and they will. And other guys, you just can't afford anymore because they're not as good as they were.
Man, great points by both of you. And I'll just throw this in. Evan, you know I know where you're at on this, but I want to hear it. So there used to be a saying when I was single, there's no romance without finance. So you got to go to the dinner. You got to do that. Okay, I get all that.
Boy,
so if you're telling me it's about the money, is the honey the playoffs, or are you telling me they went 6-11 last year because of injury, not because they were devoid of talent in certain areas? And before you answer that, the last thing about Bosa, he's worth it. I don't think he lived up to what he was supposed to do. So in that instance, how does that conversation go? We know what you did with Debo, but when you got a guy who I think the world of that is not kind of living up to what he's supposed to do, what's that conversation like, if any?
Well, if you get rid of Nick Bosa, what do you go out there and look for? Nick Bosa. So if Nick Bosa is 90% of what you thought he was when you paid him, okay, you can trade him, but you're going to go out there and try to find another Nick Bosa. And if you look at Nick Bosa and what he is he the fifth best, seventh best, ninth best edge rusher guy in football?
Way higher than that.
Okay, wherever he is, and you're right, and I agree with you, but if you try to replace him, how do you replace him? And, you know, we're going to talk about his brother today and whether or not you want to bring him in.
We had a conversation about it.
I just think that, you know, when you look at Debo, like, Debo is probably the 37th best receiver in football, 24th, whatever he is, he's much more replaceable than Nick Bosa.
I also think that the fan base is way more dissatisfied with Nick Bosa than the team is.
Now, that's interesting.
That's it. You're right.
Do you think politics play a part in that?
Maybe for a few people.
I like to wear my red hat.
Largely, I think football fans want to just be dumb and watch the game on weekends. So we're not really, like, I don't think too many people are getting into all of that. I just think that fans want sacks. And so that's it. We didn't get enough sacks. And yes, you could change the vowel and be even funnier.
Yeah.
Still true. But fans want sacks. And what the 49ers are doing, what a team is doing, is they're looking at the analytics of it. And football people will absolutely tell you that the right and left tackles in the game will still tell you that Nick Bosa is one of the three hardest people to go against in the game. And so I don't think the Niners look at the defensive line and think Nick's a problem. I think that they're more going to lean toward it's Nick Bosa and Steph Curry. First half of this season had something in common, which is that they don't feel like there's enough around them. And if the defense is then able to focus solely on that guy, you're going to get a little bit less of that guy. And so the Niners defensive line needs a Jimmy Butler. That's what they need. And that will unlock Nick Bosa.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you pay that much money to a player, though, and he eats that much of the cap, it's like, they've tried to get him help, but you're forced to not have as much money to spend on the help. Like, Nick Bosa is the help.
Wow.
I heard you do that segment earlier today. I was driving down, and I'll tell you exactly what went through my head when I heard you do it. This is a very interesting segment, but I thought to myself, everybody needs help. Nobody can be the help by themselves. I just don't believe in that. I don't think there are athletes who can do things by themselves. I don't think you can be a defensive line by yourself. I get what you mean. He's making a lot of money. But I think that, that's my point. I think the 49ers are happier with Nick than the fan base is.
I agree. I hear your point. But my point is that when you make that much money, it's not as if, all right, now you have to do this. But it's... there's less money to spend on that help. So you don't really have a choice. I mean, it's not like they can go out and get another $30 million play. I mean, maybe if you want Myles Garrett, perhaps that's someone. Trey Hendrickson was just made available for trade not too long ago. Those are people that could help Nick Bosa. But then you got to take away from other positions. I feel like one of the reasons the Niners were in trouble last year is because they were so top-heavy, and a couple of those guys got hurt, and then you saw how much depth they really had.
Well, they paid Javon Hargrave to be that helper, and he played like two and a quarter games, and he was unable to go, and he wasn't great either. So I do think the scheme is part of it, too, where you play the wide nine, which allows Nick Bosa to be way out almost at the hash mark. And if you have no D tackles, then what's he even doing out there that's going to help you?
Well, so Aguadala going to change that? Or
no.
Because he would.
No.
That's what they ran when he was here.
Yeah, they're going to run the same scheme.
So he needs all-stars in the middle to make him an all-star.
No, DJ Jones was not an all-star.
Yeah, like I
but Armstead and Buckner, like those are first-round picks.
But you know? Like the example you just used of Myles Garrett or Trey Hendrickson, that's almost like saying Nick Bosa needs the help of another Nick Bosa. I don't think he needs that. Maybe he just needs a Joey Bosa. It doesn't need to be another superstar. It needs to be someone else who's effective, who can challenge the offensive line. I just don't think there
were
enough of those.
What about with the injury history that his brother has? Are you ready to...
Scares me.
To the point where you're not giving him a chicken or you'd roll the dice.
Well, how much chicken?
25.
Well, let's say like Khalil Mack last year was like 1 for 19.
Well, I appreciate the honesty.
Like a 1 year, $20 million deal.
Yeah, and he balled out. I thought Khalil was done.
I think for like as a fan to know the actual number, I'd have to like dive further in and have someone be like, here's the cap and here's what we're doing in other spots and all that. I'm not like down on the idea of Joey Bosa. I'm not as excited about it as maybe a lot of other people are. I think that there's too many people who are involved in the novelty of it rather than the actual effectiveness of it. I think Joey Bosa makes sense for the 49ers only if it really fits financially. But if you're going to come out and tell everybody we want cost effectiveness, and we want younger, and we want healthy, well, then Joey Bosa only makes sense because of his last name. Not like that doesn't fit what you said you're trying to do at all.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that if you're looking for youth and speed, which they absolutely need, that sounds like draft picks. You know, that sounds like, and they have 11 of them to use this year, but there's no guarantee that you're going to find the help, or at least in the immediate that maybe you're looking for.
Like, it feels like if Joey's going to come, he has to really want to.
And that means he would take a pay cut to be with his bro.
Well, he's going to take a pay cut.
Because you done made some bread.
Yeah, he got a huge deal with the Chargers. So he's going to take a pay cut.
12 games last year.
But, like, is Joey Bosa right now thinking, I'm going to take the best offer I get? Or does he really want to be with his brother?
Now that...
If he's going to take the best offer he's going to get, he's probably not coming here.
But if you really want to play with your brother, a dream,
right?
And I could see that. Maybe you can get me on a little discount.
It would have to be a huge discount to me because of what we've talked about with the finances and, you know, Brock Purdy, although the majority of that doesn't hit right away in this first year, you still are in a spot where you don't have a ton of cap room and you're going to have to, guru noise, eat a lot of Deebo Samuel. All of that money gets accelerated on the cap this year. That's 30 plus million that you're going to have to swallow now because you decided to deal him.
No doubt. All right, boys. Well, Warriors live at 3:30, about an hour away.
10.5 spread. Easy, right?
Too big.
You would hope so. Yeah.
Too big.
They covered 16.5 not too long ago.
It doesn't mean they won't cover it, but I wouldn't I wouldn't play this one.
His neighbor's asking.
Yeah, that's
a... 10.5.
Post-Draymond birthday, and you know
that's
they were
what
out
Evan
all
yeah. night. We'll see.
End of a road trip.
Yeah, I get it.
Don't just be reactive. they beat the Knicks, so they're going to...
This one's a scheduled hangover.
Wow. I would
take the Nets in the first half, the Warriors probably wake up in the third, but you know, take the Nets in whatever it is, 5.5 first
Warriors
half.
Been starting slow.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, man, that Draymond party, he turned 35, and you don't know what that's like yet, Evan, but
I don't.
You know, 35 is one of those ones in New York City people. With like fellow multi-millionaires around.
Anyone want to venture a guess? I just pulled it up. What's the first half number in the game? What do you want to guess?
I would say Warriors by 4.5.
5.5.
Keep going.
6.5?
Yeah.
No, that's...
Warriors are laying 6.5.
That's
a hook.
A trap.
Laying 6.5 in the first half.
Sounds like Brooklyn. Yeah.
Take Brooklyn, a couple of aspirin, and call me in the morning.
Okay.
You're welcome.
I'll text you at half.
All please. Right. I'll All talk right. to you guys tomorrow right here on 95.7 The Game. Willard and Dibs coming up.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results.
And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, let's go. Mark
Best
Willard.
Day of the week. Come on, here we go. We don't have a whole lot of time to talk this out because Warriors Live is in an hour and 15 minutes. Warriors, Brooklyn Nets, and we'll get to some of the things that we thought were real interesting that Steve Kerr had to say to us yesterday and get you ready for that basketball game. But yeah, does everybody know, are you in an NFL slumber? Do you know that what they call the legal tampering period or whatever the stupid name is, that starts on Monday? And free agency officially starts on Wednesday. So you're going to start getting a real steady flow of offseason news. Christian Kirk was just traded to the Texans an hour ago from the Jaguars. You're going to start hearing this stuff. And so when Mama Bosa, Cheryl Bosa, maybe she whipped up an omelet with some onions in it this morning, and she put on her Instagram story, can we start a petition to get Joey Bosa to the Bay? And my first reaction was, all right, a Bosa on each side of the line? Come on, man, that's cooking. I love that. And Baldy's on the station this morning with the roast, talking about how Joey can still play. And you know, he's not as dynamic of a pass rusher, but maybe better all around than a lot of the other pass rushers out there. He's good against the run as well, so he's getting into the X's and O's of it all. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I don't think it's necessarily a horrible idea, but what I do think, the excitement level about it is too high, and that's mainly just because of his last name. I think the novelty of this is pushing people's opinions too far in the direction of bring Bosa to the Bay, because he is often injured, he is about to turn 30, and he is probably not going to be the cheapest option out there. And you've got a lot of things to figure out, obviously, on that cap and beyond. So I am very tenuous with my thoughts about Joey Bosa to the Bay.
Well, I'm out unless it comes down where the number is so small that it makes sense, because it's almost like a vet min deal in the NBA. I don't want to expend real salary and real commitment to a guy. As you mentioned, he is oft injured and, you know, he doesn't really play. He's played 28 games over the last 3 years, which is 28 out of 51 possible. That's about halftime. That's almost like a Joel Embiid participation rate. So yeah, if you can bring him in for a very, very, very small number, then I'm into it. And I do think it would be kind of fun to have, you know, Bosa and Bosa and Bosa and Jay Bosa and Cheryl Bosa, friend of the program. We've talked to her a couple of different times, and hopefully we can, you know, reach out to her and get her on at some point.
I'm trying.
Maybe, I know you are, maybe later this week. And she's been so generous with her time with us, and she's been a fun interview. So from that standpoint, yeah, it'd be great.
No, come on.
No, I mean it, Cheryl. Yeah. Yeah, you've been great. But if Joey even if Joey even will sign for $10 million a year, even that for me is too much money.
Oh, then he's not coming.
Right. Then what are we even doing?
$10 million?
You're not paying him 20, which is what he was making.
I don't know that you wouldn't. I don't know.
I don't think that you should. You've got so many holes that, you know, one other edge rusher, a guy who doesn't play every single game, he plays half the games, and you're going to pay $15-20 million a year for that? I'm out. That to me is bad business.
Yeah. No. And again, you and I have a difference of opinion about where the 49ers sit financially right now.
Yeah, we are.
You bring up the word cap.
All the time.
I bring up the word cash. I think the 49ers are fine on the cap. They've got plenty of cap space. I think the 49ers are running their business the way I wish all businesses ran. Unfortunately, ours doesn't always work this way. Ours works sometimes where people will pull out a spreadsheet and just start crossing names off without even knowing who they are. But the 49ers are working the way that, you know, golf works, which is if you're doing well, we'll keep paying you. If you're not, get out of here. I really get out of here.
Thank you.
Like, Kurt. I honestly believe that this is not about the cap. I think this is more about frustration with 6-11. And so when the 49ers say we need to correct things financially, I don't think that they're saying we're in cap hell and Brock Purdy's coming and we're terrified. I think I hear too much of that out in the streets. What I really think is going on with the 49ers is they're like, look, we went 6-11 and we've been one of the most generous free spending teams in the NFL. We try to take care of our guys. We've made it a thing where if we draft you and develop you and you're good, we make it a thing that we are going to keep you and pay you. But then if you're going to turn around and either A, not produce, B, get injured too often, or C, take us on a crap journey, Brandon, we're done.
Well, he's still here.
I know he is. And but if somebody can make it worth their while, he'll be gone. Like, make no mistake, the Niners are still livid about the way things went with Brandon, and it is largely their fault. If they were livid, they shouldn't have done it in the first place. And the fact that his name is even being brought up in trade conversations tells you that the Niners, they know they messed up. They messed up, but they messed up in the name of being like, oh, man, we're so close to the Super Bowl. We got to go for it. But they messed up, and they should not have signed that deal. And so to me, this is almost just the mood they're in. The mood they're in is if your name next to your money makes sense, then you're good and we're fine here. If it doesn't, then we're looking to get off of you.
And I do think that part of that is because of the cap. And you and I can have this debate and we'll never have a real answer because the team's not going to come out and say, yeah, we're making these moves because we're in cap trouble. They're not in cap hell, but they're not in cap heaven. And you look at what they have under the cap right now, and it's about $34 million. And I'm just looking at their dead cap number this year. Debo, 31. Eric Armstead, remember him? He still has a dead cap charge of $15.5 million. Mooney Ward is 12.3. That right there is about $58 million of dead cap money for three guys who won't play football for you. So I know that they have a lot of cash, and Jed's been very free with his money in the past. I also look at their cap situation with a quarterback who's going to get fill in the blank dollars per year.
Maybe.
And I mean, if they do sign him, and they don't have to sign him, they can do a number of different
things with the quarterback. It's not a requirement.
Right? Because he's under contract for $5 million this year because he's been so good that his 1.1 is actually $5 million. But I look at their cap number, and their cap room is not as big as it usually is. And that's why I believe that they're having to make some of these hard choices.
Yeah. Look, and in or out on both. Not Nick, Joey. 888-957-9570. We're going to have some fun with this. We'll take some phone calls. 888-957. Are you in or out on the idea of Joey Bosa? Again, I'm not offended by it, but it has got to fit. Like, that's my response is, Joey, you better be ready to give him a discount. And if you are, and you want to play with your brother, and you want to rehab your sort of standing within the NFL community, not that it's taken some sort of huge hit, but he's missed a lot of games lately. He is not able to go command a major number. But I bet he feels like he could put up, if he's healthy, he could put up some really good numbers opposite of Nick. because Joey would not be getting all of the attention. And I bet he thinks it would be pretty fun. And I bet his family thinks it would be pretty fun. But what do we also know about the Bosa family? What do we hear every time one of them is up for a deal? Oh, don't mess with the Bosas. They drive a hard bargain. Well, if you want to drive a hard bargain, drive it somewhere else. Honestly, there's way too much of people getting all kind of enamored with the entertainment side of this, the quirkiness of it, having brothers opposite one another on the defensive line. I don't care about any of that at all. I am interested in cost effectiveness and effectiveness. That's it. And your name can be Bosa, Snosa, Flosa.
Yeah.
I don't care what your last name is. All I care about is the production for the cost. That's it. That's it. And so with someone missing as many games as he has, I got a lot of trepidation about this idea.
Right. And I don't believe that the cost is going to be even remotely close to what they would be willing to spend. Because as Evan mentioned, they have 11 draft picks, which means you're going to want to have 11 players that you sign. You're hoping to draft players that are good enough to make your team, and then you're going to pay those 11 players. And you have to fill in other spots on your roster because you can't draft 11 players to fill 15 or 17 or whatever it is, holes on your team. If you look at the Niners roster from last year, I think they have 31 free agents. So those are 31 players who starter, backup, special team, whatever. You need to find replacements for them. They need to be paid. I don't think that they have enough money to just give Joey Bosa $15 million a year because he has a cool last name that you're familiar with. I don't think they can afford him. I don't think they can afford. If he wants to make.
They can.
Well, it depends on what he wants to make.
They can afford him. And again, this is the difference in the way you and I look at it. I don't think the Niners have any trouble with what they can afford. It's simply a matter of where they want to put the assets that they have. They can afford him, provided that he gives them bang for their damn buck. That's it. They got the bucks. They just need the bank.
Yeah, I don't think they have the bucks that you think that they have. And we'll see what they do in free agency. And already we're seeing moves that they're making with cap casualties. Like Deebo Samuel, they've already said how much they like Deebo, but they traded him because he makes more money than what he's able to produce.
Totally, totally. And actually, Deebo put something out in the Players Tribune with some really interesting quotes that you should hear. And we'll bat that around a little bit coming up next. Warriors Live is an hour away. Steve Kerr told us yesterday, don't worry about this specific game. Even though I am, we'll tell you exactly what we're talking about there. We're sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. The number is 888-957-9570, and this is Weathered and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
Well, I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
I mean, here's a promise. I'm not big on the idea of the 49ers signing Joey Bosa, but if they do,
yep,
we'll have Cheryl on and we'll see if we can put together a menu. Because after what she described to us that she makes for Nick, just Nick, what the hell must happen if Joey is there too? I can't imagine that there's a stove big enough to make that amount of food. The omelet that I had to make, that was when I mimicked
seven eggs,
but I used a wok. I didn't use a pan.
You used a wok.
I used a wok to cook the omelet that Mama Bosa made Nick.
Right.
So if there's two of them, I mean, what are we doing?
We're talking about 14 eggs, and, there probably is going to be an animal that gets slaughtered in the process.
Well, that was unpleasant.
It's just a fact.
I mean,
do you think that the bacon just shows up as bacon?
14 eggs would be half the paycheck right now.
No, good point.
Dude, and good luck finding 14 eggs, too.
Well, you can find them, but the store won't let you have them.
No.
Does all the stores have those signs up? They're like one carton per person, please.
Right.
It's kind of funny because if you go in the morning, because that's when I shop because of our show slot.
Yep.
I
actually see you in the aisles.
Yeah, the whole thing is full of eggs, and they're like, you can only have one. I'm like, why? You got like, there's tons of eggs here, but they'll only let you have one.
Right.
So Okay.
It reminds me of the pandemic when you would go to one of the big box stores and try to get toilet paper, and there would be a line of like 75 people. Like, the big box store opens, and everybody charges to the back where the toilet paper is, and now we're going to fight over 2-ply so that we can... I'm going to make sure that I can wipe my bottom and that you can't? Like, what are we doing in society?
We're such a weird species.
The weirdest ever.
That was one of the oddest things that we as people ever did. I try not to pat myself on the back too much because I'm as dumb as anybody else, but I'll pat myself on the back for my pandemic behavior with regard to paper products. Like, I was never like, oh my God, like, we gotta go to the store and get, like, just relax. There's gonna be toilet paper.
Yeah.
There's gonna be paper towels. It's gonna be okay.
I bought 600 rolls of toilet paper, and I bought 842 packages of AA batteries, just in case. I bought all the batteries.
Just in case of what? What was it that was supposed to happen?
In case I got to hunker down, Mark.
You did.
I know. For only 18 months. Two different shows worth.
We'll go to the phones in a second. Baldy was on with the morning show, and this is what he said about Joey Bosa.
Well, I mean, I was around both Joey and Nick quite a bit this summer. You know, they work out at this park in Fort Lauderdale every morning when they're home, and they train unbelievably hard. I mean, they leave it on the field every day in that heat down there. I think Joe's got a lot. I mean, he's been frustrated by the injuries, the number of injuries that he's had. It's taken its toll. But, you know, one thing about Joey is he's all in. Like, he's a great teammate. They're best friends, Joey and Nick. They literally spend all their time together and their dad, you know, down there in South Florida. Joey's got the boat. Nick's on the boat. I mean, they're best friends. I considering what they have on the roster right now, he's better than anything else opposite Nick Bosa right now.
Look, if he can come produce at a healthy, cost-effective number, then I'm not going to kick and scream about this. But here's what I'm also not going to do. I am not going to get sucked into the fact that they're brothers. I don't care. I don't care that they're brothers. I really don't. Taylor and Tyler Rogers were out in the bullpen, and we got 18 stories about, oh, this one's left-handed, and this one's like...
Okay, twins, even. Yeah.
Do you get outs? I'm sorry. To me, that is actually the tone of this offseason with the Niners. Okay? You went 6-11. I don't care if you're brothers. I don't care if you're best friends. I don't care if you look alike. I don't care if you're the same height. I don't care if you went to college together. I don't care. Do you produce at a cost-effective level? Your name can be whatever the hell you want it to be then. I don't care where you're from. I don't care about anything else. That was not okay last year. It was not okay. And so the reasons that led to that, some of them their fault, some of them not. But the Niners got sucked in, and I get why, because they lost the Super Bowl in overtime, and it's super painful and hard to move on from. But beyond that, like, we're not doing nostalgia this offseason if I'm running the Niners.
And we're not doing kitsch and cute and like, oh, we have the same name. Turns out we're brothers. Isn't this fun? Bosa and Bosa, the two edges together at last. And if you look at Pro Football Focus and you look at what Joey Bosa did, first of all, he only played 503 snaps as opposed to 693 for his brother, but his Pro Football Focus ranking was really bad. 61.1. Nick actually had the best ranking, or the best rating, rather, of any Niner defender, better than Fred Warner, even. Yeah. So everybody who wants to say that Nick Bosa had a bad year, and I'm not saying that Pro Football Focus is the end-all, be-all, but you're right about, you know, fans and what they think. Fans want to see sack numbers, and if you don't get sacks, then you didn't really do your job if you're an edge rusher, and that's not really the case with Nick Bosa. He had a good year, maybe not as good of a year as he's had in the past, but Nick Bosa was good. Joey Bosa was not, and so that's why the Chargers are moving off him. If Joey was really, really good last year for a team that is trending in the right direction, they were a playoff team last year, they wouldn't get rid of him.
Well, right. Again, he missed some games. I know Nick did too, but I'm not in the camp that Joey can't play. But that, to me, it's all got to be, I think this is the Niners' mood right now. It is bang for the buck.
And so that's all that's going to matter. And I know we won't know that until the season starts, but that has got to be the way. I am not getting sucked into, ooh, this is a cool story. I literally, the only thing that I want to be interested in is, do you produce up to your number? Because as you pointed out, the one thing the Niners, I already know, are going to lead the league in this year is dollars that go out the window for no production. Because they're going to be paying a bunch of people who aren't even there.
Yep.
So that is what I think John Lynch is talking about in terms of what's got to stop. They got to stop paying dollars for no production. So your last name can be whatever you want. If you're not going to match your dollar, get out of here.
Yeah, and that, unfortunately, is not as easy as just that, because you know you're going to have injuries and whatnot. And Christian McCaffrey last year, you paid him a good amount of money. He was number one in running backs as far as salary goes, and he only played, what, 2.5 games? And the dead cap number that I rolled out already, you're about $50 million in dead cap this year on guys who won't be on your team, for sure. We know that. So you're right, Mark. You can't just pay $20 million a year for Joey Bosa to come in and play 8 or 9 games, and that's why I think that this is a non-starter unless he really wants to play with his brother and he really wants to take $5 million a year, which I doubt that he does.
I don't think it's that low. I think, like, you know, the whole – look, the Niners offered Dre Greenlaw reportedly a $10 million one-year prove-it deal. So that's what $10 million is. $10 million is a prove-it deal. I don't think Joey Bosa is in a prove-it situation. He's better than that. So – look, the 2025 thing, yeah, probably not. But I don't think it necessarily has to go all the way down to 10, especially if you're talking about a one-year deal. This is the way I look at it. Joey Bosa is still young enough and good enough that he's going to get some pretty big offers. And if that's what he's looking for, then the Niners are not for him, and he's not for the Niners. If he really wants to be a Niner and he'll do this for shorter and for less, then fine. I'm not, like, I don't know exactly what the right number is. 10 feels like if that's, the Niners are reportedly very interested in this. If 10's the number, I'd argue they're not interested in this, because they're not going to get him for that, I don't think.
Well, unless he really wants to play with his brother.
That's really, really, really wanting to play with his brother.
Well, he's already made an absolute blank ton of money. So,
that's true.
And he's 30, so maybe it's a one-year deal where you try it and you see if you can make something happen with your brother before you go out there and try it again. And they paid Leonard Floyd a 2-year, $20 million deal to be the opposite edge, and they still have him on the books. And so, you know, it's not like
they might be letting him go, though.
They might. Yeah. And, you know, that will be a little bit more on the dead cap that you have to throw onto the pile of money that you're spending to not have an actual player. I would think that they would keep Floyd and draft somebody and try to stockpile depth as opposed to paying Joey Bosa, like you're saying, $10 million. Even if it's $10 million, I don't think that Joey's going to settle for that. So do you want to pay Joey $15 million for 1 year?
Maybe.
That feels like a lot.
Yeah. I mean, the way that that's all structured, you know, again, if they really feel like that's someone who will produce over there, maybe they would do that. But let's go to Jonathan in the city on this. We'll take some calls here. Hey, Jonathan, what's going on?
Hey, you know, just delivering mail. Just want to say, man, no on Joey. I mean, come on, this is another guy that they have to overpay. I would like him if he would just, you know, maybe Nick would pay him under the table and not count on the cap and all that stuff. And I don't know if I'm very confident about the offseason and all this, because you know why, guys? Whoever made a person or group, whoever made those decisions is a lot. It's a chain of decisions and it's all bad. That guy is still in the building, man. Whoever overpaid for a bunch of overrated dudes, that guy is still in the building, man. So as a 49er fan, I'm really not very optimistic about this coming year. But you know what I'm optimistic about is seeing you guys on the radio, bro.
Jonathan, thank you very much.
That was pretty fun to see you, Jonathan. Yeah,
that was. I thought he said Radio Row. I'm like, Super Bowl's still 11 months away. I'm not
right.
I'm not thinking about Radio Row yet, but maybe. I mean, the Super Bowl is here, so maybe.
Maybe we'll get to go to Radio Row this upcoming year.
Maybe we will. But
yeah,
like, I'll just say this. Jonathan's not wrong by any stretch in saying that the Niners ended up with some overpriced lack of production signings. I just think that we as fans, we tend to only remember those. So when he talks about whoever made those decisions, he's still in the building. The Niners have made a lot of good decisions. The Niners have made a lot of good draft picks and a lot of good decisions because they've won a lot of football games and they've gone to multiple Super Bowls, this regime. So I always want to stop short of painting them as inept because they're just not. But yes, they are in a situation where I think they want to be a little less generous, clean it up, be a little bit more cutthroat, and I don't know that Joey Bosa fits that narrative.
I don't think he does. And, you know, you mentioned Leonard Floyd, and if they part with him post June 1st, it turns out to be, you know, it's a dead cap hit, but they also get a lot of savings this year, so yeah. It's almost a net neutral, so they might do that. But if you look at this team and forget the money part of it, you need probably two or three interior defensive linemen. You need an edge rusher, and I think you need another tackle. You probably need at least one guard, maybe more. Apologies to Ben Bartsch, who got signed. Aaron Banks will be gone. You probably need a center. You're going to need a corner. Wide receiver, I don't even know how many wide receivers you need, but probably a couple, and you're going to need a running back.
Yep.
If you don't keep Jordan Mason, so...
Remember, there's the draft. A lot of those players are going to come through the draft.
But it's hard to look at a lot of those positions and think, all right, rookie, boom, you're in. We're going to be good because we got you, you're a rookie, and we're going to count on you?
No, but they're going to have to hit on some of them.
They are, absolutely.
You know, I mean, what do they got, 11 picks? They're not going to hit on all of them, but you better hit on some of them. You know what I mean?
Well, and last year was amazing, where you had
pretty good.
Renardo Green was a hit, and Dominic Pooney was
Mustafa,
a hit.
Mustafa, big time.
Malik Mustafa was a hit. Ricky Pearsall,
I think, is going to be a hit. Yeah,
yeah, it's probably a base on balls the first year, but he's trending toward being a hit. So you did amazing last year in the draft, but previous to that, and I could pull out my father-in-law's list that he hand wrote on a yellow legal pad. You haven't been great in the top three rounds in the past.
Not in the top three rounds.
Been actually really bad in the top three rounds.
Okay, I know where you're coming from there, but like again, maybe this is going back too far, but it's funny that, you know, Fred Warner, Deebo Samuel, Nick Bosa, these guys all came in the first three rounds.
Yep.
Right? And you know, if you like Pearsall, I know that's still early. He came in, and so did Pooney. Like
Solomon,
I mean,
Thomas, Reuben Foster.
Of course, but that's my point. Is
Dante Pettis, Tarvarius Moore.
Everybody remembers the misses more than the hits. All I've ever asked for is to be fair. Is just be fair.
Right, and I'm trying to counterpoint your point here. We're trying to keep it even, keep it balanced.
No, but it sounds to me, again, but if your point is, boy, they miss a lot in the first three rounds, well, that's not fair. They hit a lot in the first three rounds, too. Of course they miss a lot. Everybody does.
Right.
Everybody does.
They're about 50-50 in the first three rounds.
I think they're pretty commensurate with the rest of the league.
We'd have to look at a full study of the first three. And to your point, 2020, Javon Kinlaw and Brandon Ayuk were their first-round picks.
I mean, I know that in this moment we're mad at Brandon, but that's a hit. That's a hit.
It's absolutely a hit. To me, it's a hit if you draft a player and you give him a second contract.
Yeah, absolutely.
That counts as a hit. And, you know, Aaron Banks is a guy who I thought was a hit in 2021, second-round pick.
He's going to get a big old contract. It's just probably not from the Niners.
Right.
I don't think he was a miss. He's a little bit of a tweener. That's a tough one.
Yep.
Aaron Banks.
And, you know, Drake Jackson, Trey Sermon, Ty Davis Price, Danny Gray, Cameron Latu, third round pick.
Yeah.
Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, no, there's always plenty. There's always plenty. I do think you could do that with every team.
I do think that, I mean, that's why maybe they should trade back out of the first round because they seem to be better on day two and day three.
Well, I don't know if
for whatever reason.
I don't know if you act based on that sort of history. I do know a lot of people who think that trading back this year makes sense because it's a deeper draft more so than it's a dynamic draft.
Yeah, fair.
In other words, there's a lot of people, and I'm no draft Nick, as you know, but there are a lot of people who think that once you get out of the like top 5 to 7 picks, that there's not a lot of difference between who will go 9th and who will go 29th. Like you're looking at, there's a lot of good. So if you're the 11th pick in the draft, a lot of people think, if you can move out of 11 in order to get 2 picks in the top 40 or something to move down, then it makes sense. We'll see. The Flash in Cupertino is next up. Hi, Flash. What you doing?
Not too badly. So quickly about Joey Bosa, why can't they do an incentive heavy contract? It's easier for defense because, you know, I mean, you don't have to be targeted. Sometimes you can control the targets and then they don't make their numbers. But then on defense, you know, you put a carrot in front of a guy, he'll go after it.
It's not a bad idea, Flash. I mean, when you say why can't they, like, it's honestly a question for Joey Bosa. Can they? Because if they can, then it's a very, very good idea. Sure, make it an incentive-laden deal.
Deuce, he doesn't get paid. You know what I mean? But then, you know, he gets injured, he doesn't get paid. But then if you get a heavy incentive, deal, man, I mean, that'll fire him up, you know? And then there's no accounting for how happy Nick would be, and then he'll get fired up even more playing alongside his brother, I think.
Well, Flash, I will say this, though, and thank you, Flash. Appreciate the call. I think it's completely fair for fans when you're talking about players like this and both of them have signed north of $100 million deals. I don't want to hear that you need money to fire you up. You should be fired up because your helmet went on your head. Period. Like, that's why I think in the NBA, people get very, very angry when they're like, ooh, you want us to try in the All-Star game? How about $5 million bonuses for winning the All-Star game? How about bleep you? You make $55 million a year. I don't need to give you more money so that you can get excited for a day. If you can't get excited for a day, then don't do this. And then we won't do this together anymore. Like, if that's... and again, money is a motivator. I'm not saying that these guys should go play for free at all. Joey Bosa is going to command a certain salary and deserves that. He's a very, very good player. But I just think it bothers fans. I don't want to hear that Joey, you get an incentive and then it'll fire Nick up. Like, you all should be fired up because you have a uniform and that's the job.
Right, and if you're Joey Bosa, you probably should be motivated by the ability to go out there and win. And, yeah, the Chargers were a team that was trending toward winning, but they didn't want to pay him as much as he was making. And if you look at his numbers in the year that he had, he's a declining player, and he's almost 30. So if you just look at his productivity...
Declining player?
Oh, yeah, he's declining.
Based on
his productivity, his availability, and all the other abilities.
I mean, the availability has been kind of a problem the whole time.
Just the last 3 years. Before that, he was...
More so.
Yeah, before that, he was, you know, pretty available and pretty productive.
I think if your last name's Bosa, you've been hurt a lot.
Right, it's because...
College and pro.
Right, Nick has been hurt, you know, a few times, especially in the pros. He had the ACL, it cost him a full year, but I don't know if I'm the Niners and I look at a 30-year-old Joey Bosa, who's only played in half the games the last 3 years, I don't want to pay him as much money as he probably wants to earn.
Yeah, no, and again, I think that's fair. Like, the 49ers, to the best of their ability, they go into this offseason saying, we are looking for people who are going to basically earn their salary. Like, their production is going to have to match. And maybe that doesn't sound that profound because I'm sure they're trying to do that every year. But I do think sometimes you're in a mode, and they definitely were last offseason, the last two offseasons, because they felt like they're so damn close to winning it all, that tiebreakers kind of went to the player, where they're like, this one makes me a little bit uncomfortable, but gosh, we're right on the doorstep, so let's extend a little bit because we think we really can win it all this year. I think that's what happened with Bosa, and it definitely happened with Ayuk. They're not in that mode this year.
Well, and it happened with Trent, and it happened with McCaffrey.
Sure,
and it happened
lesser
with,
degree, but yes.
Right, but those players in the offseason went to management and said, I'm going to need more money, and they gave him more money, just readily. And it didn't even seem like the McCaffrey thing was a story until the news broke that he got more money. And same thing with Trent. And, you're looking now at Juszczyk, who had his contract reworked last year, and he may actually be a cap casualty.
I think he probably will, actually.
Which is interesting because I don't know how Shanahan runs his offense without a fullback. That would be a dramatic change for him in what he likes to do And I know you start to glaze over when I talk about personnel groups, but they do run a lot of 21 with the two running backs. And well, Juszczyk is the one who is part of the two in the 21. So if you don't have a fullback, then you're going to have to change a lot of what you do offensively.
I am of the opinion that those coaches change what they do offensively a lot more than we think they do. Kyle Shanahan did not start coaching and running an offense when he came to the Niners. He has not had some superstar fullback everywhere he's ever been. He's been to multiple teams, Cleveland, Houston, Atlanta. We could go through the whole league where he's run offenses. Then that's not always been the case. So, again, I think they look at each player this offseason. They're like, dude, is this worth it? And Juice has probably arrived at a point where he's not, unfortunately.
But,
love the guy. Love the guy. Love all the outfits that his wife is producing.
Wonderful.
It's wonderful. Yep. But how many times did he make a big catch this year?
They're not using him as much. For him, it's about blocking.
I know, but
how many times did you get in the red zone, in the deep red zone?
There you go.
And you couldn't run the ball.
There you go.
And, you know, his job is inherently to block and get the short yardage play. And, you know, in the red zone, in the lower red zone, they couldn't get yards.
Real quick, Telmo in the city. Hi, Telmo. What's up?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing today?
Good, man.
So a real quick thought on Juszczyk, and we love him, but I think there could be a cap casualty with McCaffrey on the field. I think there'd be a potential for something that a lot of Niners fans want to see, and that's more Jordan Mason in kind of a hybrid running back fullback role. But specifically about Joey Bosa, he's only played in about 55% of the games in the last 3 years. As they were just, somebody was just talking about how they work out together and they're buddy buddies and they're not stepbrothers, but actual brothers, and who gets the top bunk. I don't want them on the same team, because if somebody gets disgruntled, if one of them's not happy, how's that going to affect the other one? If Nick gets disgruntled or he's not performing and the team gets on him, or vice versa, I don't need two brothers being upset and having that much money invested into them. First of all, me personally, I'm ready to move off of Nick Bosa. I thought if the Niners could trade him for Myles Garrett straight up, that's a win-win for both of them. He's given the Niners like 19 or 19 and a half sacks over the last two seasons, being the third highest non-quarterback paid player in the NFL at like $35 million. He's just not giving the Niners their money's worth.
Yeah, Telmo, I get it. We'll respond to that coming up next. We got to run, or else we would have heard more from you. I'm of the opinion, I made the comparison earlier of Nick Bosa and Steph Curry first half of this season. I think Nick's fine. I really do. I know y'all want sacks, but I think that Nick it will put up the numbers that 49er fans want if the concoction of the defensive line were a little bit different. They're bad defense last year.
Right. They didn't. He had no help.
Fred Warner's words. They were bad defense last year. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. More on that coming up. Plus, what Steve Kerr said about the idea of tonight being a letdown game. We'll have that for you around the bend as well. 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
Well, I was on hold and waiting for you guys to talk to me. Jaden Daniels is FaceTiming me, so I had to tell him, oh, I got to go on this show. I'll get back to you when I get off the show. So,
come on, coach.
On 95.7 The Game.
If we had known at that moment what Herm was saying, that if he was talking about the next big damn thing.
Dude, Jaden Daniels.
You're talking to Jaden Daniels.
Just some draftee. Just some quarterback who was trying to FaceTime him.
What if he was like, actually, guys, I was just on the other line with Debo's next quarterback.
Right. I mean, or, you know, I was on the phone with Patrick Mahomes. We would have been like, wait, what? Because right now, Jaden Daniels, if you wanted to do your quarterback rankings right now, recency bias and all the rest of it, he's not only top 10, he's top 7. And
oh, he's top 5.
Exactly. Might even be top 5.
No doubt. I mean, I don't know if you're talking at all about the fantasy perspective, but Jaden Daniels might be top 2.
Well, yeah.
When it comes to that, maybe certainly top 3. Anyway,
Dubs are in Brooklyn here in a little bit over an hour. Warriors Live is 25 minutes away. We invite you for an entire evening of Warrior basketball, and there's going to be a lot of Niners next week as free agency and the legal tampering period and all of that gets started on Monday, and so we expect things to start moving and shaking. I do not expect a Brock Purdy deal as early as maybe I originally thought, but we'll see. I don't know exactly the way that thing is all going to go. I do think this, and this is something we wanted to play with a little bit with regard to our conversation with Steve Kerr yesterday, because I said this earlier today. If you're really a good basketball team that's actually, like, ready to ride, it's not the Knicks game where you go look impressive. It's this one. And here's what I mean by that. You win at the Knicks, and it gets everybody's attention. It's exciting. Therefore, it's also easy to get up for. Maybe we should have thought of this when we were talking about, oh, back end of a back-to-back, that one's going to be hard. Right. But the adrenaline takes over. Steve Kerr told us Madison Square Garden still got that thing, right? Spike Lee's there. It's getting everybody going. Steph Curry performs the way he does. The Warriors have a really nice second half. They win the game over the Knicks. Karl Anthony Towns is out. The Knicks are actually struggling a little bit. All that stuff. But to me, if the Warriors are really ready to ride, this is the one where I want them to look good. Because it's the end of the road trip. It's not the Knicks. It's the Nets. And it's easy for you to go, oh, we're a double-digit favorite in this one. And the Nets can be pesky. They've already beaten the Warriors once this year.
Right.
And inside Chase Center. And it was back when the Warriors were playing really well, actually. So this one's pesky and scary to me. And this is the one where I want the Warriors to show, nope, they're total pros. They are minding their business. And they are going to be a consistent winner in the second half of the year.
This one shows you how buttoned up you are.
Yes.
Because you have everybody except Kuminga. And yes, it's the end of a road trip where you have played five games, but it's not a back-to-back, and there was no travel involved. So this isn't one of those where you go from Dallas to Houston and you have to play a game 22 hours later, and it's a really difficult spot, which they actually won that game against Houston. But this is a classic stay-and-play where you got to New York, you had the adrenaline of Madison Square Garden, you went out there and didn't play great in the first half, but then shook off the cobwebs and came out and beat the Knicks. Then you went and had a birthday party for one of your beloved teammates who turned 35. Shout out Draymond Green. And you could party all through the night and into the morning, and you had an off day. We talked to the head coach. There were no OTAs, no organized team activities. All they had to do was go to your hotel, sleep, play video games, Netflix and chill, whatever you want to do, and then you had all day today to get ready and play basketball. Right. So this is a classic no-excuses game. You're better than Brooklyn. You didn't have to travel. So miss me with the whole, like, oh, you know, end of a road trip, blah, blah, blah. Yes, it is the end of a road trip, but you had no travel, you had an off day, and now you play against a team that's not as good as you.
Oh, I'm with
Handle
you.
Your business,
yeah,
dude.
No, but that's what I like. That's what I'm focused
yes.
on. I agree with you. It's not a building of excuses, but to me, if the Warriors play well tonight, it says a little bit more than maybe people will think. Like, I agree with you, but at the same time, if the Warriors go out and play well tonight, they do win this one by double digits or even by 7 or 8 or 9 or whatever. I don't really care. I didn't lay anything on this one. I'm staying away from it. But if they do that, then I'm going to come away and be like, okay, that means something. Because as you said, it does mean you're buttoned up.
Yep.
And Steve told us yesterday that they are.
I don't think we qualify for that team right now, given where we are. We would qualify for that if we were, rolling along. If this were 6-7 years ago, I would definitely be concerned about a letdown in a game like this. But where we are, 20 games left, last game of the trip, a lot of tough games coming up. You know, in sixth, but only a couple games out of 10th. You know, we're not in a position to let our guard down and our guys know that, so we'll be ready to roll.
Okay, and by the way, not only do I, A, have no reason not to buy what he's saying, I do think there's some evidence of it already with the Warriors, and we've complimented them for this over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Like, I mean, for lack of a better way to say it, it does appear at times in these last few weeks that the Warriors are playing harder and want it more than their opponent. It really does. The game in Houston is the one that stands out to me, where right before the All-Star break, half the league sat their players, and even the Rockets themselves were like, ah, we'll play our guys, but for like half the game.
Yep.
It's almost like they played it like an NFL preseason game almost. And the Warriors, with about, whatever, 5 hours sleep from Dallas the night before, came out with all their guys. And Steph Curry was injured the night before the game at MSG. And they had to test him in pregame warmups. And what did he do? He played, and played very well, and did the night-night, and all that stuff. Like, the Warriors, they are acting out what Steve just said.
Which they have to do,
yes.
Because they don't want to be in the play-in, and they understand that we're in the spot in the schedule, 62 down, 20 to go. You've got to go out there and handle your business. And I know the idea of getting the 4 or the 5 is probably far-fetched, and it might be out of reach, but if you look at it right now, you are closer to the 10 than you are to the 5, and you are the 6 seed. You're 3 back of the 5, and you're 2.5 up on the 10, so there's footsteps behind you.
Mathematically true, emotionally untrue, in my opinion.
Agreed, because but if you're the Warriors, you understand the reality of the math.
Yes,
like,
but the 10
you
seed,
handle it.
The 10 seed has no players. The 10
right.
seed's best player is Klay Thompson. Love ya. You are not, like, his dad went on the air in L.A. today and said, I am predicting the Mavericks to lose 10 games in a row. They're that bad. He said his son is stuck in purgatory. Direct quote. So, I don't, like, the Warriors are not in danger from the Dallas Mavericks.
You're right, but the idea of where you are and, you know, Minnesota is still real. The Clippers are legit. The Kings, I don't think, are much of a threat, but you're only a game and a half up on the Kings.
Although playing oddly well since Sabonis left.
Right.
Sabonis got hurt, and the Kings played really well, and they put the fear of everything into Denver last night. Denver came back. They won. But yeah, Sacramento looks still viable on certain nights.
Of course. Yeah. And if you're the Warriors, and last year you won 46 games and you were the 10 seed, now this year 46 games probably gets you better than the 10, but I think you have your eyes on 48. If you get to 48 wins, you're going to be at least a 6, and that would mean you go 14-6 the rest of the way. And when you start to look at the final 20 games and you want to chalk 14 wins, tonight is one of them. You're better than Brooklyn. You are rested. You didn't have to travel. And you're almost completely healthy other than Kuminga. So tonight, it's one of those classic no-excuse games. And didn't you mention earlier that the spread is 10.5?
It's big, yes. Yes. Here, I'll get you the...
I want to make sure that you said that on the air, because sometimes I get confused. Like, you and I will talk.
Did we say that outside
that on
the
restroom? Right.
Yeah.
Was it in the break? Was it in the green room?
It was
10
and
a half. Air?
Yeah, it definitely was 10.5. Let me... Let me get the up-to-the-minute thing on that. But
yeah,
it was 10 and a half.
It's not that important, but...
No, it's always very important.
I know it is, but the bigger point is these are the games where...
It's up to 11.
Okay. Yeah. These are the games where you can't have a hiccup. Like the Utah loss when the trade actually went down, that's one where you go, you can't lose that game to Utah. Well, since then, you almost haven't lost at all. So that loss to Utah was unfortunate, but you've made it so it's mostly irrelevant because you've been on such a heater.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is about to get juicy. You know, for all of the talk, like, I think that this comes in waves when people go, the Warriors have the easiest schedule in the NBA. True. But that's an evolving stat, because then once you get through a road trip where you're playing a bunch of bad teams, well, now maybe you don't have the easiest schedule the rest of the way. You certainly don't over the next week and a half. I mean, I don't know how many of you all look ahead to see what's coming, but they're going to play in Brooklyn tonight, and if they presumably go out there and win that game and make their record 35-28, take a little gander at the homestand, and it's pretty sexy in ways that maybe you didn't realize. Detroit is coming on Saturday. That's now a very good basketball team.
They have a better record than the Warriors do.
Yes.
Detroit. The Pistons.
Portland is coming Monday night. Don't glaze your eyes over the Portland Blazers. You're better than them. You should win, but take a look at who they've been over the last month of the season, and you realize that's a very viable team, and if you're not paying attention, they're going to get you now. You watch out. okay?
They've been much better. You're right.
Yes, yeah, Sacramento on Thursday. We all know what that dynamic is like. And then you've got three games in four nights starting next weekend. Knicks, Nuggets, Bucks.
Pow, pow, pow.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
So you get, yes, you got to be ready because I do think there are, like, if we're real, this is not a 6-0 homestand that's coming up.
No.
Probably not.
Honestly, I'm 4-2. If I gave you 4-2 right now, would you take it? Or are we in the mode now where
probably
we're going to shake our head at 4-2?
No, but I'd probably take it just because 4-2 is good. You know what I mean?
And like that's, if you were asking for win two of every three.
Win two of every three, even when you're at home, then yes. Yes, I'll take it because then you hit the road again for a bunch of Jimmy junk. You're going to get more Jimmy junk on the road there when you leave again. So, yeah, I think I would.
Well, I think I would. If I give you a 4-2 homestand and a win tonight, then you'd be 39-30.
Let's ride.
Right. Yeah. You know, 39-30, you're at least in the six and still.
You'd have 13 games left and you'd be at 39 wins. Yeah, I think that. That's more than acceptable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I don't want to go too deep with the schedule game, but you're right about the upcoming homestand because Detroit, better record than you right now by a half a game. You have the same number of losses, but the Portland one is really interesting because they were 13-28 at the halfway point, and since then they've won 15-22.
Yeah.
They've gone 15-7.
Dude, they can play.
Yes, and they can play, and they're like beating a lot of teams on the road and at home, and Portland is not the same laughingstock that they were earlier in the year.
Yeah. I mean, they're still a take care of business type of team when they're in your gym.
Right.
Like they went to Boston last night and Tatum didn't even play, and Boston still handled them pretty much with ease. Peyton Pritchard scored like 1,000 points or something in that game. I don't know if you saw that. Did he hit 10 threes? Did he hit the Grandy now is flashing
his 41 though.
41 points, right? 10 threes? Good Lord. Bet his under tonight.
Add him to the list.
No, bet his under. Because that's the kind of game that makes it his over-under get totally inflated.
Sixth man of the year right there.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Locke?
Actually, he had 43 points, 10 for 16 from deep.
Good Lord.
Also, 10 rebounds and 5 assists.
But be careful. Boston's sitting like everybody tonight. Boston is sitting everybody tonight. Tatum is questionable, but there's no Brown, there's no Kristaps, there's no a bunch of guys are all sitting out. But anyway,
so Peyton Pritchard with more games with 10 or more threes than Reggie Miller. Go ahead.
Reggie's never had one.
Never.
Yeah.
Ray Allen has one.
Yeah.
And again, this goes back to yesterday's conversation about Steph Curry and changing the game. The game has changed so much that Peyton Pritchard, good player, I'm being told, possible sixth man of the year.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's averaging like 14 or 15 a night. He's a good player.
10 threes.
10.
Right, 10 threes. Ray Allen did it once. Reggie Miller never did it. So nowadays, anybody, and no disrespect to double Ps, but you know, you have the ability to go out there and shoot so many threes that you can hit 10. You can get hot.
Pritchard currently minus 220 on the sixth man of the year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a...
So bet 220 to win 100.
That sounds like a lock. Who else are even the candidates?
Malik Beasley of the Pistons, plus 250. Then you get into the plus, like, 1,000 range.
Who is the Warriors' sixth man? Exactly.
He's been absent the last 2 months.
Is it Jonathan Kuminga?
Yeah.
I mean, is that what you would say? Yeah, I mean, that's probably, although there's still... It's funny that all died down about, like, is he going to start when he comes back? Like, that just went away completely. If you believe NBA Rumorville... Tonight is the last night without Jonathan.
Yeah.
If you believe the NBA rumor mill, Shams was on this, and he's pointing to Detroit Saturday night for Jonathan Kuminga's return. That whole conversation got quiet real fast.
Yeah, super quiet. And if you're the Warriors and you look at tonight in Brooklyn, and that game will get over at about 11 o'clock New York time, and so... It's a long flight home, no doubt. And tomorrow, you're not gonna practice tomorrow. You're not gonna scrimmage, and then you get ready for a game on Saturday. So they've already made the decision, I would imagine, about Kuminga internally.
I would think
they know. And if it's not Saturday, I would bet that it's Monday against Portland. It's gonna be one of those two. maybe you just wait and see how much swelling he gets on the flight home, because you know how those airplanes can get you. If you have a little inflammation, yeah, it'll get you in the air now.
I know what that would be.
It'd be an inflammation sensation.
Yes, it would. Okay. No doubt. So, by the way, this is interesting. Cha-ching! This just popped up on the screen. I want to know what you would do with this, okay? I don't know if you're...
I saw you smiling. I wasn't sure why.
You know, are you an analytics person or not? And, you know, like, are you a Farhan person or not? Like, there's two, right, two kinds of people in this world, right? Analytics have to be at least part of what you think about in sports, at least if you're running teams, they certainly do. Remember when you asked me yesterday whether or not I would take the over or the under on 4.5 playoff wins for the Warriors? And I said I would still take the under, which emotionally is a little bit of a surprising answer, right?
It's a shocker.
Right, except for I didn't think it was that shocking. Because it's like in this moment, we can be totally, you can be excited about what the Warriors are doing. But as we sit here today, you're the sixth seed and you're headed for Denver. You're headed for Denver. Round one. That's where you're going.
That's scary.
That's terrifying. And I would argue you are unlikely to win the series. I'm not saying you can't, but unlikely.
Are they allowed to?
They're allowed to.
Okay.
Would you like to know the up-to-the-minute analytics on the Warriors making the second round?
Let's okay? do this.
Because ESPN just flashed it on the screen. And this is their percentage chance that the Warriors will just make the conference semifinals. So this isn't even really the number 4.5. This is just the number 4. Can you win 4 playoff games and move to the second round? Most Warrior fans right now, oh yeah, come on. 9-1, Jimmy Butler, here we go. 36.9.
Okay. That's pretty good odds.
It's good odds, but it's well less than 50.
It's about 2-5. It's between 1-3 and 2-5.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's between the two.
Right. Like it is significantly less than 50-50. The Warriors remain in this moment a very clear first round underdog. And,
right.
And I
right.
know emotionally it does not feel that way, but it is that way. It is that way, at least right now. Now, you said a few minutes ago, 4 of the 5 seeds still kind of far-fetched. I don't think the 5 seed is far-fetched at all. I mean, they've picked up 3 games on the Rockets in the last 10 games. They can do it in the next 10 games.
Yep.
Or the 10 games after that. Like, the Rockets are not playing very
well
right now.
They've picked up 5 games on Memphis the last 10.
Memphis is hosed.
Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Free-falling.
Yeah, that's
my guru voice.
Well, I mean, Jaren's out. You weren't playing well to begin with, and now Jaren Jackson's out probably the majority of the rest of the regular season.
Yeah.
So I watched them last night host Oklahoma City. They are not a threat.
You're 4 back of Memphis with 20 to go. So you would need to, you know, play. If you go 14-6, you would need them to go 10-10. And yeah, that might be the way that goes. Now, Denver, the Lakers, and OKC, I do think that they're a little bit out of reach.
Yeah,
you're 6 back of each with 20 to go. That becomes tall cotton to try to climb all the way up there. But,
agreed.
You know, you mentioned Memphis with their injuries, and Houston's really kind of come back to earth. So is it possible that you get to the 5? Well, yeah. And then I wonder what those cute little ESPN odds would be. If you're the 5, I don't care who the 4 is, you're favored to win that series.
Well, let's see. Probably, unless it's Minnesota. Even then, you'd probably be
favored. If you're the
5
and Minnesota's the 4?
No, if you're the 4 and they're the 5.
Either way. I guess. I do think you're favored either way.
Maybe.
Right.
Maybe. Minnesota scares me a little bit because they're starting to play well, and that's the team I was looking at all year being like, dude, you should be so much better than you are. But now they're also getting healthy. DiVincenzo changes that team, man.
No, I love
him. He changes that team.
He's great.
Yeah.
DDV, restaurant quality.
Yeah.
We've talked about it.
And Gobert's coming back, and you know, yeah.
Gobert.
Well, I mean, it's a piece. I mean, he does affect the game.
He does.
He's not a great player, but he affects the game.
He does.
He's a monstrous human being.
He going to get choked out if they face them in the playoffs.
All right.
Get choked out again.
I mean,
I'd
sign up. That would be, for me, moving past, like, the Laker and Nugget thing, which seems like those are the matchups nobody wants for the Warriors. Yeah, Minnesota, now that would be fun. That'd be a fun first-round matchup.
I'd sign up for that right now.
If
that's the 4-5 matchup.
In terms of like entertainment value, you might be right. I still would love to see him take on Houston because Houston at their best is a very good defensive team. And so I think stylistically that would be a good matchup.
I think, if you're looking at their chances of winning it, Houston or Memphis, that's who you would love to see if you're the Warriors, which may well be. I mean, that's the beauty of either getting to the 4 or the 5. Is if Memphis or Houston plays well the rest of the way, that's who you'd get, is one of those. And I would completely favor the Warriors to beat either of those. That's the one area where I don't agree with the ESPN analytics. They said 36.9%. Can't argue with that, whatever that's math. But they said it's the 6th highest odds in the West. The Warriors are not the 6th best team in the West. They're higher than that, in my opinion.
Agreed. I wonder how they came to that.
Well, because Memphis is 4 games ahead of them right now. Like, someone else is going to get home court advantage, I think is what they're saying.
I guess. And Memphis and Houston, if they're the 4-5, they both would probably be at 50%. So based on just that, if it's 50-50, if it's a coin toss, and OKC, the Lakers, and the Nuggets would be higher because those are the 3 best teams, I guess that's where you come to the Warriors being the 6.
All right, here we go. The Warriors are in the Big Apple for another one. We're sponsored by Safeway, and with Willard and Dibbs, Warriors Live is next.